Hey guys, Rob here. Before we start the episode, I wanted to tell you about an upcoming event, Franchise Month. Basically, we're devoting 1 month or 4 episodes to a single film franchise, and we need your help. We want you to call in to our Google Voice number at 203-787-8946 and tell us what film franchise you think we should tackle. It can be any film series, it can be any number of films from any genre. The four of us will vote for one of the entries, and the winner will not only get their franchise chosen, but will also get to pick any one movie for a regular episode. Here's how it'll work. Leave us a voicemail at 203-787-8946 and tell us your first name and where you're from. Tell us what film series we should do and why we should pick it. And last, your choice for a single episode if you win. Everyone that enters will get their single movie choice put on a list that will be rolled randomly by the D20 of Fate. So there are multiple chances to win. Please keep your voicemails under 2 minutes long, as they may be played on the air. The contest will run until we have at least 10 entries, and we hope to hear from you. So thanks, and enjoy the episode.
The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Deep Blue Sea, a fucking shark ate me!
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don A. Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. It is 4 a.m. once again, and that means it's time for the 4 a.m. podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host, as always, Tony Shark. Joining with me today is...
Brian.
Rob, also Shark.
LL Cool Joe.
All right. I don't have the... Never mind. All right, so they're bigger, they're smarter, they're faster, they're meaner... your worst fears are about to surface, so I hope you can swim fast. Welcome to the endangered species list. We watch Deep Blue Sea from 1999.
Deepest blues, my head is like a shark's fin.
Thank you, Brian. It's directed by our good pal Rennie Harlan, who I think this is, I believe, his first movie we've done, but I'm sure it won't be his last. As he brought us Die Hard 2, The Adventures of Ford Fairlane, Cliffhanger, Cutthroat Island, The Long Kiss Goodnight,
Wow.
Exorcist the Beginning, The Covenant, 12 Rounds, Legends of Hercules, and Strip Trace.
So he's ended a lot of careers, huh?
Yeah, so when The Long Kiss Goodnight is your best movie, that's not a good resume.
No, I skipped a few as well, but like it just dive bombs.
He got a lot of chances, too.
Yeah, he did. Wait, it's Long Kiss Goodnight and Cutthroat Island, both Gina Davis joints?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, Die Hard 2 is not a bad movie.
It's not bad.
It just can't stand up to the...
Cutthroat Island, she was a pirate.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. I did see that.
Did you?
I saw that movie.
That's not a good movie.
I saw that movie.
That's the longest delay.
Yeah. I'm like, that sounds familiar. You said Gina Davis. I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was not a well-received film.
Nope. I think it was on Showtime.
That derailed her film career for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, we're not talking about Cutthroat Island right now. We want to know, Brian, have you seen Deep Blue Sea? What's your history with this?
Yeah, I've seen it before. It's all right. I saw it shortly after it came out on TV or something like that. I think it was like Showtime or whatever. And it was all right. Yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah, that's all I got.
Rob?
Yeah, I think I saw this before with some of you chuckleheads, I believe. I think that's the last time I saw it.
All right, Joe?
I've seen parts of this movie. I know I've seen all the scenes that Mythbusters has picked apart. But I think there were times when it was on and I couldn't be hooked enough to really care to... continue watching.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is one of the ones during my video store days that I brought home for everyone to watch because it just looked so spectacular. So, all right, that's our history with this. Let's get into a brief history of the movie itself. It's arguably in the Jaws universe, as the license plate pulled out of that first tiger shark is the same license plate pulled out of one of the sharks in Jaws. You got that going for it. The mini sub that is visible in the wet entry area was also the same mini sub, or at least the same type, used in the movie Sphere, which also had Samuel Jackson. So lots of connections going on here, including the seaplane that they used at one point in the movie is the same one that they used in 6 Days and Seven Nights with Harrison Ford and Anne Heche.
Some lady.
I think it was Anne Heche.
Sure.
Josh Hartnett.
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
That was Hollywood Homicide.
So Samuel L. Jackson was originally offered the role that was taken by LL Cool J later. But
that would have been great.
It would have been a very
I
want to
hear
movie.
Sam Jackson sing Deepest Bluest.
They didn't feel it would be quite right for him, so they created this whole other role just to put Sam Jackson in it, because apparently he loved working with Rennie Harlan so much. Long Kiss Goodnight.
I mean, that's not unheard of. I mean, they make whole movies just so Sam Jackson can be in them.
I should have mentioned this earlier, but the three sharks that were each killed in a manner very much like the Jaws movies.
Yeah, I noticed.
First one being blown up, second one being electrocuted like Jaws and Jaws 2, and the last one being
also being blown up,
incinerated. Well, yeah, and exploded like in Jaws 3D. Originally, Saffron Burroughs, the scientist who created all this, was supposed to be the kind of the hero of this movie, and she was supposed to get out alive, but test screens didn't go very well with that, and they didn't feel they made her sympathetic enough, so they just kind of said, fuck it,
and
changed it. Yep. Also, getting interrupted by Fat Chat early.
There's a dog fight at the table.
Yeah, Jesus. All right.
It's like I wasn't even going to oppose him. He just went wild for it.
Peanut butter Oreos make a man go feral. Yeah.
All right.
A man can do crazy things for some peanut butter Oreos.
For one scene...
I thought he was back going on for track. The coupon on the top.
For one scene, Thomas Jane had to actually ride along a real live shark. So that scene was the last scene that they recorded just in case anything went wrong.
Wow.
Yeah. Tells you we're working with top level here. Mm-hmm. Also, this movie was inspired by a story written by an Australian man who apparently had a horrific dream after seeing some news reports of someone, or I believe he actually witnessed the remnants from a shark attack, and like repeatedly had these nightmares of being on a passway with a bunch of sharks that could read his mind. That inspired this movie.
Oh no, they're seeing my dirty thoughts. Get out of my head, sharks. That's all I got. Okay. That's the best
I can do. I'm just going to let that keep going. All right. So, do you want to guess at how much this movie cost to make?
I'm going to go with $70 million. No, I'm going 60. 60.
Yeah, I'm feeling low. I'm feeling 30.
I'm going to say $61 million.
That was a nice play, Brian, but unfortunately it didn't work. It was $60
million. Oh, man.
Well done, Rob. Now, does anyone want to guess how much money this movie made?
I don't remember if this bombed or not.
I'm going to say $40 million.
I'm going to say...
Trying to send it to you, Brian.
$62 million.
You go in the middle, I'll go $50 million.
Rob wins again. It was actually $74
million. What? Made money worth?
Yeah. Rob is the champion.
Not a huge success, but, you know, God is money worth.
Listen, Joe, my hat is like a shark's fin.
Deepest, right. Bluest.
I think I'm the wrong guy on that, Rob.
You guys have about three more of those before I flip the table over.
I say as many as I fucking want.
All right, well, you're just going to be a table flipped over on you.
So how do you feel about me?
And no, I can't stop yelling. That's how I talk. Have you seen my movies?
Hot Cheetos and Takis.
That you can quote Sam Jackson as often as you want. That's fine.
But if anyone has a hat, it's like shark fin. It's you.
Yeah.
How about the snakes out there this big?
All right. So, Joe, where'd this money go? Who's in this movie? What's happening?
Right up Rennie Harlan's nose.
Not that bad cast of characters that I do not know what to feel about. So you got Thomas Jane as Carter Blake. You got Saffron Burroughs as Dr. Susan McAllister. Samuel Jackson as Russell Franklin. Jacqueline McKenzie as Janice Higgins. Michael Rapaport as Tom Scoggins. Stellan Skarsgård as Jim Whitlock. And LL Cool J as Preacher.
Scoggins?
Scoggins.
That's a solid C-list celebrity list we got there.
It's a nickname for the ugly kid. Come here, Scoggins.
It is.
It's like Gollum's brother. That was his name. Scoggins. When they're fighting over the ring, it's like,
yeah.
Give it to us, Scoggins.
It's mine, Scoggins.
Precious. It's our birthday, and we want it. Well, I know, the shark's gonna know. I killed my brother and took the ring.
Are we back to telepathic sharks?
We're in New Zealand now.
Flight of the Conchords.
You know, I was wondering how long it was gonna take till we got there.
Rob, it's business time. You need to get back to business.
Well, I'm wearing my business socks. All three of them.
Ew. Okay, so. Oh, fuck. Let's do this.
Okay. Did you know a shark can sense a drop of wine in over 6 miles of water?
I did now. We get to, there's a little, some people, some teens or something.
People.
Yeah.
They're people.
Youngish people partying out on a boat. We know they're having a party because they explicitly say, we're having a party, man.
Yeah.
So everybody's having a good time. They're making out with their
ladies. I did like how the two couples making out, one stopped making out to walk over to remind the other one that they're having a party.
Yep. Listen, Joe.
Yeah.
You got one couple, that's four arms. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's enough hands.
For when me. I said yes that I knew what you were saying, that was
Joe,
enough.
Joe, just reach over and turn his mic off. Just turn it off.
Just pull the plug out. Yeah.
I thought you said that little can wasn't enough to get you drunk.
So these young people are on this boat. It's a catamaran, apparently.
Yeah, something like that.
If you're not familiar with catamarans, watch Waterworld in its entirety, and then you'll be familiar.
What are you doing?
Don't
do not do this.
So
the views and opinions of Rob do not represent all.
So they're on their catamaran. And all of a sudden, this boat starts shaking, and it knocks over their whole bottle of Kevin Costner's hot piss, which goes into the water. And
was too loud, and they upset the downstairs neighbors.
Yeah. Honestly, like...
Yeah, they lost the jukebox, too.
They lost the jukebox. And yet, they're not freaking out yet. They're just like, what was that?
At least one of the girls was like, I'm scared.
Yeah, but then...
The girls were kind of scared, but the guys were like, I got a half chub. I don't...
Yeah.
I'm going to move. The guy's
like, she's like, I'm scared. And her boyfriend's like, I'm going to touch your belly button. She's like, oh, okay. It's cool. Let's go down and see what the other couple's up to. Let's see if they've reached coitus yet and see if we can jump in on that.
In case they forgot, we'll remind them we're having a party.
Yeah.
All right, so
let's get a human centipede.
Something starts bumping the fucking boat.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Like hard bumping the fucking boat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, turn the boat on, go somewhere else.
Yep.
Yeah. Like,
it wasn't the couples.
Yeah. Fucking go to fuck somewhere else.
It's weird because it's bumping the center of the boat.
Yeah.
Like above the water.
Yes. Well, that's why Tony and Brian told me it was a catamaran, but it didn't look like that from the side. But I could be totally wrong.
No, I saw it. That's why I saw it as a catamaran.
So what would be between the two flotillas?
Just wooden planks.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is probably structurally the weakest part of the boat.
Right. Well, it's also where the people were. Sort of.
Kinda.
I don't know how it knew that from inside the water.
We're going to get into a lot of how the hell did they know any of this shit. So let's start now.
The smart sharks.
No, that was just a regular dumb shark.
It was a smart shark.
It was a smart shark.
No, yeah. I thought they said it wasn't one of the ones.
No, it was.
It was?
Yeah.
Was it?
I thought they said it wasn't. Okay, either way.
That's the one that got out.
Yeah,
it's not one of... I don't believe it's one of the genetically modified ones, but it is... smarter one.
It was one of the Gen 1 with the smaller ones.
Yeah,
Gen 1, Gen 2. I don't know.
Site B.
Yeah,
because he makes reference like because at one point, like a minute later from where we are now, he asks one of the characters like, "How high are these fences?"
Mm-hmm.
And they're like 8 feet. And he looks at back at the wall, looks at them. He's like, "You see his head?" He's like, "That motherfucker jumped out."
Like, how high are you?
Which again, this already starts poking holes in the whole plot of this movie because it makes it so some of them are getting out already. So is it just the one big fat one is like, I got a plan so I can leave with you guys next time. Is that what we're supposed to believe?
Yeah,
I guess. All right, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Doesn't matter.
So this shark smashes through the bottom of the boat and basically just fusbro-dahs the four people right off the side of the ship.
Yes.
I believe both men managed to headbutt the women.
Oh, yeah, one of them certainly did. I know that.
Wait, hard. Hits her hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was dead before she hit the water.
So they're now stuck in the water. The shark's coming to get them. It looks like they're done for, but then last minute save by Thomas Jane, Captain
Carter Blake.
Carter Blake.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Carter. I'm going to remember that.
They just pulled it out of one of Rennie Harlan's like Harlequin romance novels that he had in his trailer. What are we going to call this guy?
Hold on a second.
I swear he's got one of those like name generators.
Hold on a second. We got Flamin' Hot Chipotle Ranch Cheetos here, and they're pretty fucking good.
They are.
A little hot for me. I'll be mad about it in a little bit, but they're pretty fucking good. Thank you, Cheetos. Thank you.
The color is a little bit too close
to frightening.
It came out of your body spectrum, but...
That's what it's going to look like when it comes out of your body again.
Yeah.
It's so you got red on your hands.
And I can't get it up off. No, it's and I cannot get it off me. That's the line.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. This guy harpoons the hell out of the shark. That actually is surprisingly hot.
I just said that.
Well, no, because I bit it, and I was like, oh, I got this.
So it's flaming
and then, like,
hot,
when I inhaled, a little bit of it went into the back of my throat, and I was like, bleh. Okay.
That's what she's...
Yep. So, that's what I don't get. Questions start here. Because, all right, we capture this shark. It's good. So now you see Dr. Susan McAllister is reporting to Samuel Jackson in some other suit. And he's like, we're shutting you down. The shark got out. It almost killed some people. You know, your research is over. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, where are you doing this research? Why is the shark getting out? And, like, if this is the cure for Alzheimer's, who cares that a shark got out? Like, you're not just going to pull the plug on the cure for Alzheimer's. So then, especially when you fly out with Samuel Jackson in the next scene and you see where they're actually doing the research in an old World War II sub pen, and I'm like, why are we not doing this at an aquarium?
Good point.
Yeah. What? No, come on.
Yeah.
All good questions, including how stealthy was that boat and how come the guy from RoboCop didn't get any lines?
What?
The guy from RoboCop?
What guy from
RoboCop? The other CEO.
The
quiet white guy that was just sitting in a chair.
That's right.
He's only in there for 5 seconds. Yeah. No? Whatever.
Then why? Why was he there?
He is so rich, he hired Samuel Jackson to do his speaking for him.
Yes.
I believe that.
Which should be a thing that can actually happen.
Which just makes sense. I think Sam Jackson, wasn't he the head of the company?
I thought so.
I think I saw him as more of like he was a problem solver that kind of went out to just... make sure something goes smooth.
Yeah, I think he was the guy hired to check on things and see if it was worthy of them paying more money and so on. So he was the deciding factor of whether or not this would get shut down, but he was not, in fact, the man supplying the money. Yeah.
He was the Alan Grant, if you will.
Sure.
I don't know that reference.
Wow.
That Jurassic Park.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would say closer to the lawyer.
We're going to have to pause the podcast here and make...
Look, I don't know names and shit like y'all motherfuckers do. Y'all memorize lines and shit. Memorize songs and cast lists. Y'all memorize shit.
Rob's mouth.
Brian needs to watch.
First you check against
Jurassic
Park.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fans, you're cool. What's up, Rich? I'm out.
Did you say accept, Rich?
I said, what's up, Rich?
Why is Tony on the floor? What is happening here?
Collapse. Just structural collapse. A smart shark got in here and just took us down from the inside. Oh, this damn movie. Okay. So this acting is terrible. For this whole movie, it's just terrible.
True.
How is Thomas Jane the Punisher? can we just touch on that for a minute?
I forgot that he was the Punisher.
God. I mean, I'll say...
I'm guessing because of this movie.
He's an apt Punisher if John Travolta is your main villain.
Yeah, but anyone is at that point.
he's not a good actor.
No.
The sad thing is, I believe John Travolta has a better Jigsaw than I would Thomas Jane as Punisher.
Wait, was he Jigsaw?
No, but he could have been. Okay. He should have been.
Oh,
man. What are we even doing now? Okay, oh yeah, yeah. All right. So
what are we doing now?
Yeah.
It's an old submarine pen.
Dr. McAllister is trying to convince Sam Jackson that the project is worthwhile. Yeah. She's like, I had to tell my father every day that my mother died.
Did you really have to, though?
No, just tell him she's at the grocery store in an hour. He'll forget. Like, what? What's the problem here?
Tell her she's in the other room. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Well, she'll be home in a little while, then. Yeah. Why don't you take a nap? Why don't you watch Matlock? It's brand new. You've never seen this episode.
Matlock?
Yeah, why don't we watch Matlock?
Anyway.
Also, I want to really stress this point of Sam Jackson is the guy there to determine whether or not this project will continue. He is the money man. He has got their fate in his hands. And they consistently just shit on him left and or right. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's like, oh, you're the asshole that's going to shut us down. And like, oh, I heard you ate a bunch of people on a mountain and shit. And like,
no one said that.
Well, no. But like, they're all saying crap.
Well, the scientist said, Dr. McAllister did say while they were flying out, there was some issue on a mountain where he had to...
It was avalanche. He survived.
Yeah.
And I think in that...
Oh, Cool J makes some comment about how he shouldn't be out on a mountain.
That's later, but...
The point is, like, everybody's just dumping on him and, like, kiss his ass. He's, you know, he's going to decide whether or not you have a job tomorrow. Don't be start bringing up all this shit he doesn't want to talk about. Yes, I said don't be start.
I think they were all of the attitude that, like, after tomorrow, like, this guy's going to be licking our balls when, you know, he sees...
how tasty they are.
How tasty they are, yeah.
Sure.
Once we tap that shark brain, use it to turn on some neurons.
They're big brass ones, apparently.
Speaking of,
yeah,
we cut to this scene where Dr. McAllister, I can't call her that because I just keep thinking of Home Alone. So
just call her Susan.
Dr. Seuss is...
for most of my notes, she's the redhead because I didn't get her name till the end of the movie.
The shape. Yeah, it shapes like a dick.
Well, that is quite a phallic Cheeto.
You should totally call in or not call in.
Yes. Apparently there's a contest on these Cheetos that some of them are in fun shapes, and I found one that looks very much like a dick.
And it's going in Tony's mouth.
I might have to save that. Cheetos or the... Never mind. All right.
So Dr. Seuss is like trying to show Sam Jackson how they do this research, how they extract...
What's his name again?
Juice.
What?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Russell Franklin.
Franklin.
So Dr. Seuss is trying to show George Jefferson how they get the brain juice out of this shark.
Franklin from Job's puppet.
Franklin. He's got kids all over town.
Oh my God. So this movie's like 10 times better for me now.
So
I want to reenact all his scenes with that puppet.
So she pulls out this model of a shark and takes, like, its head is, like, cut so you can just take it off, like a little cap. And she starts extracting this brain juice from it. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, we're supposed to think that's a real shark.
Yeah, it looked really...
It is the fakest looking prop I have ever seen.
Because, like, the outer part looks like a fucking fake-ass shark, right? But the brains look, like, juicy, like, for real?
Yeah.
So I'm like...
Yeah, I can't tell if that was supposed to be a model. Like, is that what we're supposed
to
do?
Like, yeah. It was confusing as fuck. Shark?
It certainly looked like a model.
Yeah. But, okay.
I don't know.
All right, I'm going to get the science questions out of the way.
There is
good luck. I'll get the answers out of the way. Yeah. No, 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 yeah. No.
And right, magic.
So definitely. The plan is we need to take... juices from the brain of a shark to that can activate dead neurons in your own brain and cure Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So shark brains, apparently that's the way to go. But you can't get enough brain from a regular shark, so they had to genetically manipulate the shark to give it a 5 times bigger brain.
Yep.
How's that fit in the shark?
Magic.
Okay.
I did say magic.
I mean, no, I will give you shark skulls or cartilage, not you know, bone. But
I will also argue, I'm not sure of everything that was going on there, but I know at least one of those sharks, it was way bigger than that type of shark should ever fucking be.
Suppose.
So I'm guessing there's, you know, all of it kind of comes along with that.
They're GMO sharks.
Basically, yes.
But if you make a, like, it's like a bigger version of the same animal, the brain is still, like, it's physically bigger, but it's not like the neurons really increase. Anyway, going off of that, if that's your plan where you need a big shark brain, why are you not using whale sharks, which are the biggest shark, also don't have teeth?
Maybe it's because it would be too hard to find a facility to hold a whale shark captive.
I don't know.
Also because, fuck you, Joe.
I guess. I mean,
they have a harder time.
Magic!
Yeah.
They have a harder time showing Sam Jackson getting eaten by a whale shark, I guess.
I'm just thinking to the Jackass scene where Steve-O filled his pants with shrimp and then just got in the water with the whale shark and made it go to town on his downstairs.
Wow.
So they're not exactly the most dangerous animal in the world. Should have used that.
What, Steve-O?
No, Steve-O's brain, I don't think that's curing anything.
There's no juice left in it.
Steve-O would be like, are you sure this is the right...
And that is a very dangerous animal out in the world.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, we'll get into a lot more of those questions.
I'm sure I'll have more. Yeah. I'm done for now, though.
All right, so now we get into...
I can answer all of Joe's questions. He just needs to watch a little documentary called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Mm-hmm. That's how all of this works.
Sure.
Okay. All right.
But now we get into a late 80s sitcom going on in the kitchen where LL Cool J is having a little chat with his bird while he's trying to cook and spout off a bunch of random Bible quotes and stuff.
And who voiced that bird, Tony?
You got Welkered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I checked the credits. It was Frank Welker.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the talking parts?
Are you sure he wasn't a shark?
He was probably also the shark.
He's only credited as the bird, but he could very well be the sharks.
I think he ADR'd some of the doctor's lines.
I think he was the noise of the spear gun being fired.
He did the whooshing for the water.
Mm-hmm. He was the explosions. The guy's a talented man.
Yeah. He did that rap at the end of the movie. So what is LL Cool Gordon Ramsay doing?
He's the station chef.
He's trying to be funny and or interesting, and he never succeeds at either.
Yeah. Well, instead, at least for this scene, he comes off a little creepy because he's feeding some kind of cream to this parrot.
Yeah.
And he makes some comment we all missed, but something about being nasty and possibly cock. I'm hoping cockatoo or cockatill or whatever, but...
Cockatill noon?
Never mind.
Cockatill break of dawn? Yeah. But, I mean...
He was hoping for a cockatoo.
Say what you will about him. I still have him down as, say, the second or third best actor in this movie.
That's
not hard.
It's Sam Jackson. Oh. Then it's a huge drop off.
Well, I would say Sam Jackson, and then what's his name? Stellan.
Yeah, Stellan Skarsgård phoning it in is still better than most of these people try.
I think that's a key difference here. It's not that he's the best actor in this. It's he's trying harder than most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. LL Cool J is trying.
Yes.
Most of the other people here.
I would have taken him over Thomas Jane as the head guy.
Yeah.
Thomas Jane doesn't seem like a badass to me. Like, he's got weird... He's
I just didn't care about him.
Brian compared him to Christopher Lambert.
He looks like him.
I agree.
If Gerard Butler and Chris Lambert had a kid, it'd be that dude.
I would have to stop that. I mean, that's... That's one of, probably my top 10, things I would never want to see happen ever.
You just saw it. Thomas Jane. You saw what he looked like. You saw what he looked like.
But I hope he's not actually.
We have the video to prove it. His conception. We'll show you now.
I never want to see that.
It's just a fusion dance.
All right. So LL Cupcakes is doing LL his little Cupcakes. Thing. And now we get to velociraptors in space or water.
What? Water.
Yeah.
I wish it was in
space. Yeah, you see some sharks killing
coming to sci-fi this weekend.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's a brief party where we hear a bunch of secrets and shit going on and talk about what's making these sharks all cool. We also hear that there's a hurricane coming because that's always the way. And apparently we ship off 90% of the staff that works at this facility just because... Fucking why not?
It's good.
Weekend, they
Yeah, you know what? Your jobs are on the line. Fucking stay for the weekend. How about that?
You would think they would do that.
Huh. Like, this is literally, like, you could have today off, or you could have from now on off.
Yeah, it's basically, it's like, go home. We'll tell you on Monday if you have a job.
Yeah. You may or may not be getting back on that boat on
Monday. I mean, chances are they probably do that because their funding is low, because they're a fringe project, so... To pay all those workers for the weekend, they send them back home to
the
budget. That's my guess.
If they pull off what they're trying to pull off, then money's not going to be a problem. And if they don't pull off what they're trying to pull off, then they're bankrupt.
Yeah.
So either way, what do you have to lose?
I get why they don't do this every weekend, but this is a special occasion.
I mean, there should be a pretty lady following Samuel L. Jackson around everywhere he goes, which technically they tried.
Yeah.
And like... You know, it should be more than LL Cool J preparing the meals. And yeah, there should, like, the station should look beautiful and, like, all the staff should be there.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. But also, you know, the storm is coming. Maybe they evacuated non-essential staff just for safety reasons, or they were reaching some sort of capacity, or...
I mean, like, for someone who, like, a little while ago was asking why the dude was in the office when Samuel L. Jackson was there, because he shouldn't be in the movie, didn't need him. Like, that cast is extraneous. You don't need to have him in there, so why have them in the rest of the scenes? Like, just get rid of him. Like,
no, I'm just saying it just doesn't make sense in the context of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
also,
if it's good enough for Jurassic Park, it's good enough.
The Jurassic Park got a little bit more of a pass. That one was like, the park wasn't open yet. And
it was better explained.
Yeah.
But also, as we'll get into it, they apparently let go some of their needed staff. We'll get there in just a moment.
You think more than one, like, shark handling guy would be good?
That would be lovely. Or more people that know how to put on a tourniquet.
Yeah.
But anyway, they all leave. We're just having a party, and then for some reason we have to send Thomas Jane down to get one of these sharks, so we're going to perform the experiment now.
Oh, yeah, okay. So it's a birthday party, though. I'll talk about this for a second.
Oh, the flare jump scare?
Yeah. Well, Dr. McAllister, I don't get this character, because, like...
No one did.
Yeah, like you were saying, people thought it was weird that she lived at the end, so they decided to kill her. I'm like, are we supposed to like her, or are we not? Like... People there don't seem to like her, but then they sort of portray her like she's a hero.
This movie, maybe it's the writing, didn't do a well enough job at fleshing out any of the characters.
Yeah.
Not a one. Like, you get the preacher, LL's character.
Yep.
You get him a little bit of, like, insight into him. Like, a little bit.
Well, you see he has a lot of time on his own.
I would say they did a decent enough job with Samuel L. Jackson for what they were trying to do with him.
Right.
I think they fleshed him out well enough. But everybody else, yeah.
I mean, so aside from LL Creme Brulee, it was like, it's similar in my eyes to like the way Michael Bay makes movies, where he has these characters and they have all these like quirky character traits, and that's supposed to like fill in basically instead of an actual backstory.
It's like a supplement for depth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a character trait. Like, you are the nerd. You are the gay one. You are the...
Anthony Anderson.
You have a parrot.
You have a parrot. You collect spoons in your free time. It's just like one basic thing
that's
easy to show and explain, and then you get no more characterization beyond
that. Yeah. Exactly. And that's kind of how this went.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, now is where we officially find out that the hormones have grown the shark's brain 5 times the normal size.
We discover this when John Carter, whatever, is in this tube and he pulls out a gun, and the sharks not only recognize the gun, but they start swimming backwards from it.
Yeah. They make a comment earlier in the movie about it being against some regulations to do any gene tampering.
Yeah.
Because Samuel Jackson, Franklin, he says something about... you sure you guys are following the rules you're supposed to be following? And they're like, oh, yeah, we wouldn't do any of that stuff. And then now you find out she lied and that they did indeed.
You know what? That might explain it, though, because they're in international waters. So maybe that's why she broke whatever that protocol was.
Although I will say it's a little refreshing to see like the big company is actually all about rule following. And it's somebody like lower down the totem pole that actually broke the rules.
Yeah.
It's so weird, though, because it's the cure for Alzheimer's. It's not like the big company is trying to, like, make a super soldier or something.
This is true, but I mean, rules are rules, I guess.
I guess, but you're billionaires if you do it, and it's like a major leap forward for humanity.
I mean, that's one of those things, like a lot of the health stuff that we have today is because a lot of doctors did some really shitty things to get, like, so not like we're killing people to test, to experiment on, like, they're like, we want to make sure that that doesn't happen anymore, so we put these rules in place to kind of stop that stuff. So, like, that's where it's coming from. Like,
well, yeah, I think
they don't want to encourage someone, like, you know.
You still enforce those rules and you punish the person who did it, but you don't let their research go away, like.
Well, I mean, the thing is, her research could have gone on without the genetic modifications. She just said there wasn't enough brain juice in a shark's brain. They made the brain bigger so they get more juice. Like they still had the data that said, you know, shark brains hold this kind of information.
I don't think they were ever going to get to the proof of concept stage, though, without the genetics. But
there was also talks at one point of skipping, like, 3 weeks of trials and stuff. So,
which they had to do because funding was about to get cut.
Yeah, but the point is there's a whole lot of shady business going on here.
You know, start breaking the rules and you got street sharks. So, yeah. I mean, think about that.
Then you got Vin Diesel.
Voicing all of the street sharks.
Let's do it. Come on.
It just sounds like an asthma attack.
He's got time. But also, how much...
Can we call it Deep Blue Streets?
Yes.
Deep Blue Voice, I think.
But how much modifying are we doing here? Because I don't care how big your brain is. You can't just break physics like that and start swimming backwards when you're not capable of it.
This is very true.
They just figured out how. To make them do something they're not physically capable of.
Yeah, you know, why not?
Sure.
And also, like,
I just got smart enough I can just bend my elbows backwards and start grabbing things behind me.
Yeah. Also, like, how are you smart enough to figure out what a security camera is when no one has ever told you what a security camera is?
Yep.
Right. You know, that was going to be my next game.
Yeah.
My next comment.
Just increase your brain size, and that makes you more capable of understanding everything. And psychic? Well, maybe that's the thing. Maybe were they psychic?
Look, listen, if they just...
They never specify, but that would make sense.
If they just make this movie with Lawnmower Man, and then Giant Mnemonic, and then you got the genetically modified dolphin shark.
I want that to be battling some sort of VR shark with a lawnmower mouth.
So would it be the dolphin and the shark having that weird... cyber intercourse?
Yeah, it'd be a battle at the end between a cyber dolphin and a cyber shark.
And Vin Diesel.
If I can make a request, that shark needs that monkey with a robot helmet and a gun riding his back.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen.
Oh, that monkey.
What are we even doing now?
God only knows.
Okay, so... Oh, yeah. This is Dr. Carter's... Or, I'm sorry, not Dr. Carter. Carter's just like, we should make those fences higher.
He's like, clever girls.
So they just do.
Yeah.
Sure. No, but now he finally goes out. He tricks one of the sharks by taking off his scuba gear or whatever. It attacks that. He knocks it out. They get it on this lift. They start bringing it up because they're going to, you know, get some of this brain juice out so they can test it out on dead brain tissue, which I didn't think that was really how that would work. But
yeah, they just drip it on some.
Well, I think that tissue might have still been technically alive. It's just not actively firing its neurons anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Again, I don't understand enough of what was going on there to even kind of, you know, science. Pretend like I do. Yeah.
Capital letters, science.
Yeah.
My apologies.
But again, many questions here, like why weren't there more restraints on this shark when they brought it up?
Or any?
There was one.
There was one
yellow tied out strap.
There were two. Yeah. There were two straps. Like this was a canoe on top of their car and not a giant deadly shark.
But the good thing is...
So this wouldn't have even been acceptable for, like, tying down Harry and the Henderson.
No!
Certainly not. But this did answer a question I had from the beginning. I was starting to make a list, and I was like, hey, I wonder what sharks hate. Turns out smoking is one of the things sharks hate.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that shark was going for that cigarette.
You think so?
I think he wanted a puff, and he's like, dude, pass. And just, decided to take the whole arm with it.
Well, sometimes, you know, when you, like, feed a snake a dead mouse, like, it gets a little too excited, and it just exactly. It sees the heat of your arm and just, ah. Yeah.
I suppose.
I don't know that, because I don't go near snakes when they're...
Okay. Oh, I don't either.
Perhaps feeding a snack to a dog accidentally gets some of your fingers.
Some of your fingers?
Oh, bite your fingers a little, like, it gets your part of your hand in his mouth, because he's just...
That's like, true. A dog did that to me once.
All right.
Johnny Dangerously, is that on the list?
Okay, so the shark brain brings these neurons back to life for 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And then
hip hop hooray.
You know, everyone's celebrating for a sec until the shark's just like yum, bites Stellan Skarsgård's hand off or arm off.
Yes.
And then everything goes into slow-mo.
A reminder, there's a giant storm heading this way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which like for me, one, they should have been able to see that on the reports for weather anyway, like that that's just coming. Mm-hmm. They could have been like, yo, you might die if you come to this thing this weekend. How about we push it back a couple of days so the storm passes? You know, like.
They didn't have the ability to, I think.
Really?
I think because they had 48 hours and that was it.
Yeah, they did say they were aware that the storm was coming, but they didn't think it was also going to be that bad.
That's a military-grade submarine pen, which are generally the hardest structures to destroy. Like, that thing should be able to take torpedoes. It can take a tropical storm without a problem.
Couldn't take a shark, could it?
Apparently not.
Couldn't take a Stellan Skarsgård on a gurney.
Yeah.
the storm wasn't so much the problem, but just like the shit hits the fan here. Stellan Skarsgård is celebrating with a cigarette when the shark bites his arm off. People are freaking out. They're getting knocked into the water. Thomas Jane is trying to get a gun so he can kill the shark. I'm gonna kill it. Yeah, fuck this thing. Lady Susan Sarandon is like, no, I got this, and just hits a button to drop the shark back into the water.
Damn it, Janet.
And one of the other girls falls back into it for a moment or something. There's just everything is going wrong immediately.
I don't know.
But now they're like,
their actions here.
All right, Stellan Skarsgård is bleeding out profusely. Yeah. We need to do something about this. Let's get medical here. Oh, wait. There's no medical on the station at the moment because we are stupid.
Yeah.
So now we have to get them to come in from the shore. They're coming in on a helicopter.
Well, I mean, like, regardless, they had to get someone to come in for a short. If medical was there, not putting his arm back on.
This is true.
Well, they're not putting his arm back
on. Yeah, regardless, he needs to go to an actual hospital. Yeah.
No, I got this. Yeah. But still, I feel like someone should have been there.
They should have poured some of that shark brain juice on there.
Should have had a fucking helipad on their sub.
That would have helped too.
Couldn't hurt.
But anyway, they you know, do the old, we'll put them on a gurney and attach it to the whatever under the helicopter. The wench.
Yeah.
And we'll just dangle him from the bottom of this helicopter because we all saw that ending well.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, the wench just stops working.
Yeah, apparently Stellan Skarsgård has the mass of a dying star and just...
He's a dense man.
Just couldn't... Like, the helicopter just couldn't lift him.
No, I had hoped.
Infect him with something that made him weigh more as time went on?
Yes.
Was that part of their plan?
Sorry. I had hoped that the shark would have jumped out of the water.
That's what I hope, too.
Because you made the reference of, like, the guy made a reference of, like, of the fences being so high.
Yeah.
How high the sharks can jump. Like, you put the thing in the fucking... Have the shark fucking jump, eat the guy. Like, that would have been awesome.
Right. And that would have been a reason why the winch wouldn't be working.
Right. That would have been awesome.
Because this movie's like, fuck it, we're doing it live with the science here. So why not make the shark jump a little bit higher than normal?
Yeah.
And normally a shark can jump pretty fucking high out of the water.
Yeah. It didn't even have to jump that high. They go to, like, when he's first trying to take off.
Yeah.
And it's only a few feet off the water. But instead, it just breaks and drops him like he's in a dunking tank. And we're kind of going fishing with Stellan Skarsgård.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Do you need to check yourself?
Yeah, look, I'm trying to make sure I don't shit my pants because it's been a rough day.
So
that was touch and go right there. I wasn't sure what was going to come out.
So. Cue up that cartoon again. Why waft it at me though?
Because someone else has experienced
this. There should be a rule. Don't waft your farts at the host.
Well, Tony's over there.
Yeah.
It's my house.
And he wafts at me all the time.
All right. So the shark's just like, I'm going to take this helicopter for a ride now.
Yep.
Just because. And it's like pulling the steel cord of the winch through like steel plates.
Yeah.
Just because.
Dumb or weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it pulls the helicopter down enough where the helicopter whips into this tower and causes this massive explosion.
I could be wrong, but like a helicopter should be able to just have a like a lever that's just like, fuck it, the winch is gone. Like it's just not on the helicopter anymore.
You would think. No, I don't know.
But it's like the Expendables showed up an hour beforehand and just planted C4 on every inch of this stupid place.
I mean, everything blows up.
Oh my god.
Like,
too bad they didn't have their bat shark repellent.
Yeah. I mean, like, the tower blows up and it shows the tower operator, she gets blown out, whatever.
Oh, she is decimated.
The helicopter blows up. The area in front of the tower blows up. Then next to the area, there's a fence. Fire jumps to that, to some gas tanks. Those blow up. Then the fire jumps from that a little further to the side to where there's a plane dock. The plane blows up. Then the tower blows up again.
I was thinking of C-Lab 2021 with Chopper Dave, where he's like, oh!
Also,
Pod 2 destroyed.
Yeah. Also, to jump ahead a little here, just because I want people to put this into the back of their minds, this is all part of the shark's plan. This is a master plan from the sharks. Okay. They knew all this was going to happen. They knew this Rube Goldberg thing of explosions was going to happen.
All right. One more nitpick that only like a military geek like me would obsess about. But like, I know it's an American sub pen, but like in World War II, the German sub pens were so strong that the Allies bypassed them rather than try to conquer them and just left them there for the whole war because bombs would bounce off the top of them. They were that tough. This thing should be able to take a helicopter crashing into it without much of a problem.
Well, you know, government cutbacks and...
Tell that to the Charred Corp of Janus.
Uh-huh.
They had to, you know...
Well, I think that was Rita.
They had to take a lot
Miss Soprano.
Yeah.
They had to take a lot of rivets out of the armor paneling.
Yeah.
To feed to the sharks, presumably, and
to weld their armor on.
Yes.
As we upgrade them.
Sure.
So here we get a bunch of nonsense exposition. They're still in the shark lab or whatever. And Sam Jackson sees an object coming towards the 10-inch thick glass.
Really thick glass.
Yeah, real thick glass. It was,
so this super shark is swimming towards the glass with Stellan Skarsgård on the gurney in his mouth, and he whips this gurney at the glass, and it cracks it.
Spit, I would almost say.
Huh?
Spits it.
Yeah.
And so here we get the science of shark plus human body plus gurney.
I would have accepted more the shark just threw his own weight against it.
Yeah, because... Yeah. Like, once the shark lets go, like, the water, it's just going to stop the body from moving. There's no way a human could hit that glass and break it.
Yeah, and especially because, like in Mythbusters, they've tested, like, a shark throwing its body weight against things can do all kinds of horrible damage, and it can indeed sink a boat. So it could probably break the window. I don't know if the shark's brain would be intact afterwards. Probably not.
That's the
thing. I would give them, this shark is smart enough to know that if it's just smashing against the glass, it might not survive that. So it's essentially using a tool, hard object. I'm guessing maybe even I'm going to go on a, you know, big limb here, but say try and use the corner of that gurney to, you know, really smack into there. But yeah, again, it's one shot that it does to this thing. And that's pure luck it worked out like this.
I think it would have been cooler if it wore the gurney as like a helmet.
Yeah.
And then crashed into it. So used it because it's like, I know that's a pad.
Or let's see the three sharks. We already got into, we skipped this, but they've seen we're hunting in packs.
Yep.
So let's see the three of them each get a part of this, get behind it and slam it over and over again. That way you also get to see Stellan Skarsgård just mash onto that screen like a bug.
Yeah, which would have been awesome. I'm sorry, we cut you off, Brian.
I just felt it was trying to send a message. That's all.
Yeah.
It was like, fuck you. I got a helicopter now. Ho, ho, ho.
That's part of it. But again, part of the plan seems to be this is how I'm getting into the C-Lab. I'm breaking this glass.
I'm picturing like one of the sharks is not cool with what the other sharks are doing. He's like, I'm getting into the helicopter. I'm taking off. I'm going to find a new life somewhere. And he eventually becomes Jabberjaw.
I'm picturing, if you watch that show Oblongs, the beach episode Oblongs, where he had the legs that made him walk. He got into the water, the shark came out with the legs like, ah!
I would go with, if like, maybe if one of them was like still a small shark, if he like jumped onto the gurney with Stellan Skarsgård and rode that up into the helicopter.
Escape from LA style.
Yeah. You know,
and maybe that caused the helicopter to crash.
At this point, why not?
More awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, but now, yeah, this window, like a cheap windshield that just got a, you know, a pebble that made a crack in it, just, that's it. It's enough to get through and whole thing shatters.
Like, one thing I didn't get for the scene, well, I understand why it happened because they're not actually in front of a breaking glass window, but we see it start to break and they're just standing there looking at it.
Yeah, that's a wrap. Like,
and like, they stood there for a while watching this fucking
Samuel
thing.
Jackson was like, get the fuck out of here.
Like, the first crack, I'm out. Like, what the fuck's going on? But the actors didn't see that. I bet they had no direction saying, okay, it's breaking now. It's breaking now. And then finally when they said it, they ran off. Like,
oh my, they would have been so dead when that window broke.
Oh, so dead.
So
dead.
So entirely dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they were how far under the water?
I don't know, but like you could tell that was a soundstage that they were pumping water into. Yeah. Like when a window that size breaks, like that,
it's the room's just filled with water. Yeah, immediately.
And you go for a horrible ride and die horribly.
I don't remember how deep they said this was, but I know it was at least three floors
deepest
down.
And bluest.
Yeah.
His head is like a shark's fin.
Yeah. All right. So.
Well, that's how he survived, but how did the rest of them?
He wasn't even there.
No.
So anyway, they do manage to get out of this room. They close the door behind them, but suddenly they hear a noise. Something's rap-tap-tapping on the door. Apparently it's a shark busting his way through this giant steel door.
Yeah.
Just cause.
Which this is, again, where I'm like, I believe sharks can do that, but I'm pretty sure it's going to have some serious brain damage or something when it's done. Because we see, like, it's popping these, like, fist-sized screws, or bolts, rather, out of this wall from the force of its impact. That shark is not going to have a face left now, when it's done.
I know a shark can take a lot more damage than you would think it could. But yeah, you would think, like, a shark that smart would be like, maybe there's a better way to do this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just wait till they go to the top.
Well, the biggest issue for me with this movie is...
That?
No. They don't take into account the way sharks actually move in the water. Mm-hmm. So they need space to do things.
Yeah.
And so once they got into the corridors of the bunker place, whatever, they shouldn't have been able to move around. Like, they can't turn. They can't get enough speed to do anything. You need space to get speed. Like, it's just a beach animal. Like,
and they shouldn't be able to swim backwards.
Shouldn't be able to swim backwards. Yeah, they should be fucked. Like,
you should be able to trap them somewhere and that's
truth
it.
Be told, once LL Cool J is facing off with this shark in this corridor, once he got behind that thing, it's a wrap. Like, you can do whatever you want to that shark. Yeah. Like, you can't turn around anymore. Fuck you.
Yeah. All right. So, speaking of which, at this point, LL Cool J is on level one, not being funny or interesting.
Yeah, at all. And they make us watch him.
Yeah. And, well, he tries to take the stairs up, and it floods out on him.
His bird flies away.
Yeah. And that's basically it.
Bird is a bird.
Yeah, he's just chasing after this bird. While the rest of our crew is now trying to make their way along. And this is another problem you have, Joe. You say the sharks should have waited until they got to the top floor.
Yeah.
But it couldn't, because all of this, again, is part of the master plan to lure them to the top floor and flood the rest of this facility. That's all part of the master plan, as we're told.
I would have just waited to the top till they got out the front door and just jumped out of the tank and ate them.
Well, I mean, he wasn't trying to eat them. He was trying to get them to flood the
to lower
the entire complex.
If I could smash down a steel door, I would have jumped out of the water and just smashed through that tiny-ass chain link fence.
Yep.
And just swam away.
Yep.
Yeah. again, this is why I'm like, I don't get any of this. Like, but also, this is assuming that by making the shark smarter, it's somehow like, I don't know. Again, the telepathy is the only thing that makes sense, because I guess it somehow downloaded the schematics of this base, so it knew what it would need to do and where it would need to go to get them to flood it.
It has a rough idea, because the base has a lot of windows, and it's been looking in the windows. I don't know.
Well, you're telling me these super smart sharks can't just go to the edge of the fence and just dig out the sand underneath it and just go onto the fence? They got those shovel-like snouts.
What sand are you talking about?
The bottom, I think. Yeah. I don't know. We don't know.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know how far down it goes, really.
He's assuming it does not go further into the ground below. It probably doesn't, but who knows?
All right, so now they're all bickering with each other. They find out that Dr. McAllister's made the sharks too smart because, you know, she needed more brain fluid. They're all freaking out, and like, I want her to just be like, motherfucker, I just cured Alzheimer's.
Don't I get any credit for that shit?
I'm sorry, but like, at this point, her making it out alive is kind of the top priority now.
Like, well,
her
zip discs making it out alive are top priority.
Whatever. I mean, you can reverse engineer what she did in an aquarium where it would make more sense, but like, she's got the cure for Alzheimer's. Like, I would do what I can to make sure she gets out. Then I would sue the fuck out of her after we escaped, and she has a bunch of money.
If you get out.
If I get out.
Yeah, I want to get out.
Uh-huh.
And I'm here because it's your fault that I'm here.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I'm not going to be throwing all this shade at her or whatever, though.
I'll be a fucking giant sequoia tree throwing shade at her, yo. Fuck her.
Because Ferris, all she had to do was like, how does any of this make sense? How is anyone supposed to know that any of this was going to happen?
We have rules for a reason to not be tampering with the genetic shit on the animals.
Motherfucker, I cured Alzheimer's.
You put my life ahead of fucking... Fuck you.
Let's take a vote.
I had to tell my grandfather every day.
No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
I felt I had
you could have said she was at Denny's.
You could have said you could have turned the light off and walk out.
You could have said she was getting a blanket over his
head. Put a blanket over his head. Tell him it's time to sleep. Hey, so let's...
We're horrible people.
Can I just say we are, but... I think you're both missing the point of, you both said something that is the bigger point in all this, which is, it's not time to bitch and moan, the priority is getting the fuck out.
So,
quick, we'll let the lawyers sort this out.
Yeah.
Quick vote. Curing Alzheimer's or bringing dinosaurs back to life?
Curing Alzheimer's.
Okay, we got one vote for Alzheimer's.
What do I personally want, or what do I think is best for the world?
Just want to point out, Tony's wearing a shirt that says Jurassic Park on it. So
yeah, that's true.
He's probably going to say dinosaurs.
Mine says Stump Beef Knob on it.
This is plastic.
So I'm voting dinosaurs.
Well, yeah.
Look, I want to kill all Alzheimer's too, but I want to do it in such a way where I want to fucking die. This is what fucking happens. I'm just saying.
Wait, why can't we do both?
Because if dinosaurs are roaming the earth, you're praying to God you have Alzheimer's.
That's not how votes work.
Yeah, Joe.
Well, but I'm saying, though, like...
I will say, if I had Alzheimer's, but there were dinosaurs, I could see dinosaurs for the first time every day.
Well, now, hold on. If it...
Wow.
Let me go back and revisit my thing.
All right.
You're just asking for a heart attack at that point. Because eventually you're going to be like, holy shit! Is
bringing dinosaurs back having anything to do with curing anything, or just to play God?
Just bringing dinosaurs.
Just bringing dinosaurs back.
For the kids.
For the kids, yeah. No, that's important. Yeah, bring dinosaurs back.
For funsies. I think Joe's getting mad right now. He's getting worked up.
It rubs me the wrong way, this movie, that like nobody seems to really take into account that they've cured Alzheimer's. Like, it's really freaking important.
I was like, in my head, it went to a weird place where, like, because we can bring dinosaurs back, maybe we can bring back this guy's dead wife, and like, she's part dinosaur in my head.
You can make her brain five times larger, and she could be a shark.
Ooh. She could throw Stellan Skarsgård's corpse at a window.
And now I'm just picturing her visiting her father.
Are we at the part where they find the submarine?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, we're pretty much there.
We thought we could escape in this sub-aquatic thing, this pod or whatever. Which also, this brings up a lot of questions for me, because, all right, their plan was to go get to this pod, right? Because it lets out at the bottom of this base.
Yeah.
And then they would presumably escape somehow, yes?
Yeah.
Sure.
The sharks, as we now see, because this place is destroyed, are where this pod is. They can get into that area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they can also get at wherever this pod could get access to.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were going to go up to the surface with the pod.
But how? Well, I mean, I guess you could go to one of the pools inside the boundary. But it seems to me like if I was going to put a bay at the bottom of the station, it would be under, like, the pens for the sharks. And you take the mini sub and you go under that net and then go out to the surface.
See, I thought that this bay was all enclosed in the same thing as the sharks.
And maybe that's true, but then you're going to take this thing out with the sharks and they're just going to fuck it up. Like, they know what security cameras are. They're going to know what's going on with the mini sub.
But either way, this all comes back to the same point of, like, this seems like a lot of effort to get past a chain link fence. That's the only real obstacle we're dealing with at the end of the day, correct? Which isn't even an obstacle for some of the smaller sharks, as we've seen, because apparently they could jump over it.
Yeah, the you're talking about the sharks' plan, which I don't I hate to call it a plan. I think it's just like it's just as things progress, I'm like, oh, let's see how this works out.
I want it to be that, but yeah. The movie does not.
Yeah, they explicitly say this was their plan.
It would make a lot more sense
if whether that's true or not. Yeah, I don't know.
The sharks were playing with cards they were dealt.
Yeah, he was like, oh, what is a 8,000 pound shark want? He's like, it's freedom. So how do you make that happen? And as things happen, that's the whole different point. But like, all they want to do was get to the surface. Like, that was it. Which they plan step two, step three is profit. Like, it's the same thing. Like, they never explain, like, what happens next.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. Again, as we've seen, the sharks can already get to the surface. Some of the smaller ones, presumably, have already jumped over this fence to get out, and that's what the cold open of this movie was. So I am led to believe by this movie, again, kind of jumping ahead here, they plan this whole thing to flood the base, so as Michael Rappaport says, the supports would break, lowering this base, causing it to sink, therefore letting the sharks get over this fence. So the whole problem is that this one chain link fence is stopping this damn shark from getting out.
Right, but you're jumping ahead, but the characters in the movie don't know that.
Yeah.
They haven't figured it out. Like only person who thinks that they jumped over it is that one guy, the Carter or whatever.
No, I totally get that. I'm just saying, what the fuck? This is a lot to do to just get past the chain link fence for these sharks.
Way. If your argument is you're talking about the sharks plan and not the pod plan.
Yeah.
It's two different arguments. Two different arguments. Well, yeah. Okay. That's what
it's like. He just keeps going back.
The
sharks plan.
It's about the pod thing. Like,
so, in the meantime, a shark follows LL Cool J into the kitchen and traps him in an oven and turns the oven on.
Yep.
That's the only parts of this movie, like, this movie sucks, but parts of this movie that, like, paid off for me was LL gets in the oven and I'm like, I go, I hope the shark turns it on. And then sure enough, it turns the fuck on. I'm like, yes!
It doesn't even make sense. Yeah. It's like a dial.
Yeah, no.
It's also underwater and probably not functional.
But he's in there. He's got his little hatchet, and he's just hacking away. He's hacking away, and then LL Cinnamon Bun gets out.
Yeah,
and he explodes the shark somehow. I don't even remember how.
Because the shark turns the oven on.
Oh, right.
He busts through the. He busts his way to the upper layer of this shark.
I will not be silenced. Do not turn my mic off.
Okay. The oven is now on. He busts his way to the upper portion of this oven.
Oh, so the room fills with gas.
So now it's full of gas.
And he throws his lighter, which would.
Yeah, he jumps over the shark.
Ignites the gas above the shark.
Yep.
Yeah. The shark's in the water, so it shouldn't do anything, really.
Well, the shark had jumped out of the water.
For no apparent reason.
Like, the lighter hits the shark's head, and the whole thing catches fire. fire and then explodes.
The shark would just be like, oh, I'm going to dive a little bit underwater. Roll over. No. It's done.
I'm okay. You're dead. And now I'm going to eat you.
But one shark is dead. So now there's
accepted like more like remember in Pitch Black when the monsters are chasing everybody for the whole movie, and at one point Vin Diesel just turns around to one specific monster, it just knifes the shit out of it real quick and murders it. If LL Cool J just like opened the door real fast with a hatchet, it was just like
that's what I thought was gonna happen. Like,
we get that later.
Come through the top and then just jump behind it and just hack the shit out of the thing with this fire axe he gets a hold of.
But I think that would show the sharks as too vulnerable. Like, they have to do some big bombastic thing.
Yeah.
Because they're monsters in a monster movie, so they gotta show them as invulnerable except to basically explosions.
I mean, the reason why I liked Pitch Black, they just had a shitload of them in there, so the monsters had
definite vulnerabilities. Well, we could talk about a much more enjoyable movie, but...
I'm just saying, there's other ways to do it. It's
not what this podcast is about.
Yeah, I'm just saying, there's other ways
to do it. Was, and we keep rolling like shitty and shitty movies.
Yeah.
Well, it's your chance, bro. Yeah. It's your chance.
Overall, 20.
Save us all.
So you watch a new Transformers movie.
Well, like the new one that's coming out.
Oh yeah.
Hey, well, Michael Bray promised it would be under 3 hours this time, so you know there's that.
2 hours and 55 minutes.
So speaking of talking about another movie.
Moving past LL Cool J. I want to throw in though quickly, he caused this explosion with the oven. Important to note, because in a minute we're gonna talk about how this whole thing is pressurized. So people throwing around explosions like that, I gotta imagine not good for the base. Or anyone inside it.
Well, a gas explosion like that, it's a deflagration instead of a detonation. Yeah. It would just be a fire. Even still, you have limited oxygen now. You really shouldn't be burning that up either.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to the pool. Samuel Jackson's talking about how, you know, when he went to the mountain, a lot of people went up, not everybody came back down, and not all of them were, in fact, killed by the avalanche. They murdered some people, possibly ate them. We don't really know.
I ate my friends!
No. I wish his monologue has gotten to how gross it got.
Yeah.
Like, I wish, and like, then the shark ate them, and they were like, good thing they ate that creepy bastard. Like, that guy was fucking eating us. Like, what's this what happened?
I thought it went on longer than this, honestly.
He's like,
but this is the scene that you talk about when you talk about this.
It wasn't the hunger. It was the loneliness.
Yeah, this is the scene that made this movie famous. Samuel Jackson's going on about how he's not going to let this happen again. We're not going to, you know, turn on each other and be at each other's throats. We're going to work as a team. We're going to get together. We're going to, you know, rah-rah, shish-goomba, whatever. And then just a shark pops out of this little pool, snags Samuel Jackson in his mouth. Rips him a new one.
Yeah, they ate back into the water. Animation L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's one thing. So, the CGI, when it comes to the shark interacting with bodies, is terrible.
Yes.
It is just straight up terrible.
Actually, I made a note that this was like the precursor to Pixels, because every time they get touched, they turn into this bad computer effect.
Yeah, it is so bad.
Wasn't it the same problem with like Matrix Reloaded?
Yes.
Where he would just turn into a ridiculous cartoon character every time he was fighting something?
This is a general problem we had at this time. Yeah. Computer effects weren't quite there. And people certainly didn't know how to, like, lay off that shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so poor Franklin, he gets eaten.
Yeah, so what about Bash?
So they're backed into a corner, basically.
Nobody here watched that show.
I didn't watch it.
So they're backed into a corner. They have to go up this, like, a maintenance shaft?
That's the elevator shaft for the main elevator.
Okay. Yeah. But it's pressurized, so if they open that door, it's going to let all the water in from the room, from that pool into the room. So, I mean, they do it anyway. The water comes in, and...
that door should have a hatch that they should be able to close.
Please, hatches, airlocks.
It should have a manual override.
We don't talk about this nonsense.
Yeah.
Also, that shark should not be able to fit through it, but let's get there.
Yeah, I mean...
They start going up this shaft... They're climbing up the ladder here, and the water's pouring in. And oh, what do you know? One of the sharks is like, I know how this shit works, and just smashes his way through that door and gets into this elevator shaft to, I guess, just spin in circles.
Which I don't get, right? Because, hold on, how'd that door open? That door opened. Oh, no, it didn't open in. So that, yeah, the door opened from the wrong side. Yeah. Like, because if it's pressurized, you want to be able to make it so what's on the outside can't get on the inside. You have it open toward the part you want to keep, right. keep you away from.
So water comes in, it'll close the door.
Close the door. But it wasn't designed to open that way. Like, it opened inward, which I don't quite get, because more pressure would just pop it in, which is how the shark can bust the door open. It didn't make any sense to me. Like, yeah, it opened into the area that was pressurized.
Not to mention, it's an elevator shaft, so why would you have doors
swinging out into it? Yeah, it didn't make any sense. Like, it didn't make any sense. No. Which is the only reason why the shark could have bust, because otherwise it wouldn't have been bust the door open. Like,
yeah,
that's why you have those things there. But whatever, that's just a.
So the ladder falls for whatever reason.
Because it has to for effects.
Yeah, and now we lose the
blonde girl.
Yeah, the worst of the two female actors,
Janice. Yeah,
She just gets crunched in the junk.
The movie is literally like, yeah, you're not doing anything for us anymore.
Way a bummer, man.
It eats her vagina, like, legit.
Yeah, really, like, does, yeah. Like, the only thing I think of is there's just a seat in that prosthetic shark's mouth.
She's sitting on it.
And she's just riding on
it's like Dragonheart.
Yeah.
Your teeth come down. My sword goes up.
But, like, they're trying to have this, like, touching moment where they're reaching for her hand, and, like, she goes underwater, and, like, the bubbles kind of stop for a bit. Then her hand comes back up.
Yeah.
Followed by the rest of the shark. Yeah.
Gives you that brief moment of maybe she's jumping out of the water, but nope, she's getting repelled by a giant shark that's right in her crotch. It's
just red coming from her crotch. Yeah. Like, the water is just red.
I'm also pretty sure the shark at that point could have just jumped and knocked the whole damn ladder.
Yeah,
or fit any of them.
Yep. I would think so. Yeah.
But they're climbing up.
Yeah.
And, here we get to... You know, LL Power Prayer J opens the door and saves them, pulls them all in.
Yeah. So now the party's reunited, whoever's remaining.
They go to Janice's room and look for her vibrator.
This is...
Legit. Wait,
yeah. What?
They say
that. Happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
oh,
that
this
happens.
Is,
oh, you went to the bathroom.
Yeah, because I knew this was the obvious, like,
yeah,
slowdown. Yeah, this is, like, the slowdown break in the movie. So I was like, all right, it's bathroom time. Yeah. So they went for her vibrator?
Yeah, they're trying to find batteries.
Yeah, they went to get flashlights, but it needed new batteries. So Michael Rapaport was asking where she might keep her vibrator.
Oh, well, they should know that her vibrator needs to be plugged into the wall.
Those industrial power.
It actually has its own generator. Yeah. So here's where.
Oh, boy.
I guess.
Also, 4 a.m. reference on the alarm clock.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, shoot. I
they straight up, they're holding it. Yeah. And they're like, 4 a.m.
They do, in fact, say.
Damn.
Shout out to us.
Thanks, I guess.
Yay.
Thanks, LL Cool J. If you ever want to be on the podcast,
and now we
let me know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we get LL Blair Witch Project J. And he's making a freaking video for, I don't know.
Just cause.
I think this came the closest to landing with me of any of his jokes.
Yeah.
It didn't, but it, like, at least this one was kind of firing near me.
LL Cool J's jokes or mine?
Yeah. No, LL Cool J.
Okay, all right.
You've landed a few.
Okay. Thanks.
Not many, but some.
So, yeah, he's talking about, he's like, oh, I may die, so if I do, I want to leave my legacy. Here's how you make an omelet. And I just let out the saddest fart I could muster. And cried into the cloud.
I picture it was kind of like the noise in Futurama where they were rolling Fat Bender
out of the room. It was like,
like all the air escaping his folds. All right. So this is when Carter and Mike Rapaport, who at this point I thought his name was Scott, because I think they said Scoggins real quick. and then they're going to go turn on some bilge pumps to drain a staircase, which they have to go all the way back to that first room.
Chudge Scuggler is Chudge his Scuggler. Name, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and here's where I wrote down on my list, sharks hate generators.
Yeah.
Yep. It's just the raptor scene from Jurassic Park. They turn on the generators, they get them running. We do get a quick
run-in. It's impressive that circuitry still works.
Yeah. We also get a quick run-in with what's left of Stellan Skarsgård for some reason.
Dude, all right, can we talk about this for just a second?
Sure, let's do it, Zach.
Thomas Jane. sees Stellan Skarsgård's body down there. He comes, he surfaces just so he could start screaming his damn head off like an idiot.
Yes.
Like legit. I get dead bodies are scary, but you just watched like five people get eaten. Yeah. Could you hold it together?
You're discrediting like your main hero guy.
Yeah, you're supposed to be this cool guy. Especially when Mike
Rappaport pops up and starts screaming. It would make just sense if he just saw it and that happened.
Right. That's...
Well, not to mention, like, yeah, this is a little late in the game to start playing that shit. Like, if you're trying to do something like in Evil Dead or whatever, where you're trying to, you know, he's the unlikely hero, I would buy this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's billed as kind of like this badass. That's what you set up. Plus, yeah, he was taking care of this guy when he lost his arm. He was keeping his head then, and he's watched like five other people die already. Like, this is not the time to lose your shit.
So
it's the two of you.
Anyway, they start turning the generators on, and a shark is in there, and it grabs Rappaport and
Skarsgård. Skarsgård, I think is his name.
Scoggins.
Whatever. Yeah, I was gonna say Skarsgård's the other guy. Yeah, you're gonna confuse people.
I am.
He grabs Scruggins and like the shark just jams the crap out of this dude into these generators.
Yep.
It was the most violent thing I've ever seen. He
basically just gibs the body and then swims away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not even so much interested about eating people.
No, yeah, they're not. They left the one-armed dude alone. Like.
He does rip him in half first, actually. Yeah. Because we see his legs kind of float away.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he knocked his body into parts.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So now Dr. Redhead's like, I'm going to go off and get my data for the cure for Alzheimer's.
Because it's important.
L. Cool J's like, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Which, I'll say for his character, is fair.
Yeah, but he's just recording himself talking about how to make a good omelet. Yeah. Which apparently he feels that's better, or more important to preserve than the data for curing Alzheimer's.
I think he considered himself more important to preserve. He's like, there's no water in this room. I'm going to stay right here.
I'll give you that.
Like, if we don't get that data, then everyone died for no reason.
Then everyone has Alzheimer's.
Yeah. And he's just like, all right.
I think he said something about, like everyone dies for a reason or something like that.
Yeah.
Like
no, he says every death is pointless or has no reason or something like that. Which... Or has no meaning.
They all do have a reason. There is always a reason for death.
But anyway.
Okay. She goes in a room, gets accosted by a fake shark.
Yeah.
The fake shark.
Yeah, the quote-unquote model shark from before. Yeah.
She does get the data.
Yep. She gets it out of a locker.
Yeah.
It seems to be preserved in some kind of plastic baggie. So she's good with that. But, whoa-oh, there's a shark in the room.
Yeah.
Then again, so the water is only about low waist high, a little bit.
Yeah.
But the shark can rise up so its fin comes, like, the shark should be touching the bottom whenever it's in the room. Like, it's not.
It should be perfectly visible at all times.
At all times. Where it is. At all times.
Yeah.
But for some reason, it rises up out of the bottom so its fin comes up out of the water, like Jaws.
If standing on a coffee table is all it takes to thwart it, because she's not even, like, her ankles are still even in the water.
Yeah. I do want to point out this scene. Early in watching the movie, there's a scene where the chef dude preacher falls over, his shelf of supplies falls over, and I go, "It'd be safe for you just to stand in the middle of your shelf because the shark can't get to you. It's too low for it to get under. It can't jump over it. All he can do is push you around." And so in the scene, that same kind of shelf is on the ground still. Yep. He's just pushing it around because he can't get around it. I'm like, see? That's what the fuck it worked. Like,
and if he did try to go on top of it, he'd basically be stuck there.
Yeah, he'd be stuck there. Yeah. So like.
I think that's why she was safe on the coffee table. It was just like, I can't get past this damn shelf.
You think he would figure out, just like, fuck it, I'm flipping the table. Like, I'm just going to grab it in my mouth and destroy it.
That halfway happens. Yeah. I think she steps the wrong way. She
drops her data and her pants.
She's like, yep, sure time does. To get into a bikini.
I do appreciate that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
A little tasteful glimpse for the fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very.
Are you going to badmouth this?
No.
Okay, because you had a face like you were going to...
It was very brief.
Yeah, all right.
It was very, very non-sexual.
Yes.
I mean, she was an attractive lady. She was in her skivvies, but it was like, there was nothing sexual. She was just like...
All right, so she's like, I'm strong as fuck. I'm about to rip. She pulls her wetsuit off, puts it on top of the table, and then stands on it. She's like, I'm gonna rip off this power conduit and drop it in the water to kill a shark.
Yeah. Yep.
Even and she does.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
That also did not fly on Mythos.
Yeah. My problem was that even her wet boobies could not distract me from how stupid this situation was.
There was one side boob shot where I was like, ooh. But then that my brain was like, no, this is too dumb.
Yeah, this is dumb. This is dumb.
I didn't even catch that. Like, my brain was just like, what the hell is happening right now? Tell me she's not going to rip that cord out of the wall.
No, it was after the shark had died where I was like, that was stupid. And I was like, ooh, side boob. And I'm like, no, that was stupid.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
I guess I missed that too. No. Here's where we learn.
Oh, so yeah, she destroyed Data for the cure.
Yes.
But her backup skills are atrocious because she was just on land. Why didn't she take a disc with her? Leave it somewhere on land.
Mm-hmm.
All she would have to do is go back and redo one day's worth of work.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Or like when she got it, why didn't she just like tuck it into her wetsuit?
Yeah.
When she took her wetsuit off, just put it with the wetsuit.
Yeah. Or just put it in your bra.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
This is 90s. There were zip discs. They were kind of huge.
Yeah. And her bra.
Girls put iPhones in their bras.
Yeah. Bra wasn't that big.
Yeah. True.
And the zip disc is bigger than an iPhone.
It is.
That probably needed like five of them.
It was filled up.
This is a small hard drive. Yeah.
So, here's where we learned Thomas Jane didn't go to school at all or something.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Oh, he was also a smuggler, we learned earlier, but it didn't really matter.
Plum smuggler. So,
all right. Okay. So, yeah, this is when they're all like, let's just swim to the surface. We'll use fire extinguishers as distractions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to put life vests on them so they're bright and colorful. We'll turn the extinguishers on because they'll spin around. That will attract the sharks.
I appreciated that they took the bends into account.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, I'm like, how deep are you? I didn't feel like they were that deep.
It really didn't seem that way.
No, the bends, like, it doesn't take much for that to set in. But I believe if you are fully pressurized inside something, you're not getting it. Because you have to, like, slowly go down, and it develops. Like, I'm not sure how that works. Because I think in a submarine, when it surfaces, it surfaces fast and you don't get the bends.
Yeah, and we saw from that elevator thing, they were at least 3 floors down.
Okay.
So I don't know how much more.
Yeah, how much further was it to go, though? Like, that's my thing. Like,
what about 3 doors down?
Wow.
What about it, Ron?
I don't know. I was going to try and think of a 3 doors down song, and I couldn't.
Okay, well, I just want to throw in, like, I thought this was really shitty on Jimmy Jane's part there.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Jane?
Carter Blake. Because he's like, you know, the movement and the color will attract the sharks. But Preacher there, LL Cool J, is in a bright white jacket. So he's making just as much movement and is just as bright and colorful as these little distractions they put out.
Those are his clothes. How's that not fair?
Well, because he could have said, like, take that shit off or something. Like, I hope you're wearing a darker shirt underneath or something.
Blake's just like, it's okay if they attack him before they attack
me. Yeah, it's kind of what it seemed like. And it worked because they're about to surface when all of a sudden he gets snagged by a shark.
And uses the power of Jesus to propel the shark.
He sure does. He stabs the shit out of it.
Yeah. I do want to argue at this point. Not even argue, but like, the shark had him in his mouth for a while. Mm-hmm. His leg should be gone.
Yeah.
Yes, considering how they dismembered all the other characters.
Yeah.
This, the Mythbusters did confirm, sort of. They said basically, like, if you're in the shark's mouth, that's probably the best thing to do would be to go for their eyes, but you're probably dead. But do it anyway.
Anyway, it might.
Well, yeah, and with a normal shark, you would probably have some severe wounds and it would bleed out.
Yeah.
With this shark, we've shown it can just chomp you in half. So, yeah, I don't know why he's still alive.
Because he's LL Cool J.
And his head is like a shark's fin.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, yeah, so he uses the cross that he always wears to stab the crap out of the shark. He gets let go. Thomas Jane and Dr. Seuss pull him back onto the shore or whatever's left of the shore. And they start hatching a plan on how to deal with this last shark.
I would have appreciated a nice ironic ending here of the other sharks that were left. Like the not smart sharks just sensed blood in the water and killed this one.
That would have made sense.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. I thought that was going to be an issue at the end as well. So they hatch his plan. He's got this harpoon device that he uses. He's hooked it up to a wire, but instead of hooking it to a winch or something to pull the shark in, he's going to hook it up to a car battery and just fry the crap out of it. There's explosives
involved? Yeah. He said 3 6 of dynamite's worth.
Okay. Of flare powder, gunpowder.
Okay, that's what it was. So he's, you know, he's going out and he's like, you know, when I give the word, hook this to the battery and blah, blah, blah. So he's aiming at the shark. The shark's trying to fight with his fence and he's too far away. So he's like, I can't hit it from here. So Dr. Seuss is like, I know how to bring it back in.
Pissed me off.
Man. Oh, yeah. This is first terrible.
First of all, the whole reason they're doing this is because they're afraid the shark is going to get out into open waters.
Fucking let it go.
Are you telling me that they have these super engineered sharks and nobody put any kind of tracking device on them? Yeah, there's no tracker on them anywhere.
Well, so
in Jurassic Park, they had a lysine deficiency.
Yes, they had contingency plans.
Yeah. All kinds
of stuff.
This is something, we kind of skipped over before, but there was a comment about how this will put us at the bottom of the food chain. And, like, again, unless it's a scenario like Brian brought up earlier where the shark comes out with these mechanical legs to get on land, not that much of a problem.
Even if the shark can get out and reproduce, like, who knows if the genetic modification is going to take? Who knows if it can actually reproduce now?
I wouldn't want to risk it.
I wouldn't either.
I'd rather cure Alzheimer's.
Well, yeah, I think the point is...
And live, because it's out there.
If you had a tracker on this thing, say, fuck it, let it go, and then hunt it down in the next 2 days, you probably have a good chance of getting it before it lays any eggs, hatches babies, sharks, eggs, right?
Spawns.
Yeah, spawns.
Sharks, they do mitosis. They just split in half.
Maybe this one does. Who knows?
All I'm saying is like, if that shit got out, off
and become little babies.
If it got out, it would, like, eat people on purpose.
Bad news. Like,
yeah, and if it had more of them, it'd be eating people on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, maybe.
Like, I'm not saying...
Well, it would be.
I'm not saying it should get out. I'm saying they should have a way to track it because they're in no real fit state to
They should be in an aquarium like Joseph and in a fucking movie.
That's true. Like,
in this case, even if they didn't have a tracker on it... Well, first off, there should be one just in that shed that Jane would just go grab and just be like, all right, there, it's got a tracker now. But anyway, like, even if it didn't, it's like a Coast Guard cutter, an experienced shark hunter, you know, a few helicopters, you're finding this shark. It's not going to just disappear.
And let me rephrase this. Kind of what I'm saying is more the, if the shark gets out, but you live and know of this shark, you can do something about it.
Yeah.
If you try and stop the shark and fail and you die, now the shark's just out to breed and do whatever it wants till someone finds
it. And no one even knows that it ever
existed. No one has any idea to be looking for such a thing.
Yeah.
Bigger problem.
Especially because you destroyed the data of its existence.
I think you guys are forgetting, like, how big the fucking ocean is.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay, even if it gets out, it reproduces. You cured Alzheimer's. I'll take it.
Well,
Joe really wants to cure Alzheimer's even more than he wants to go swimming in the ocean.
Yeah.
You know how many times I want to do that?
None. Same as me.
You know how many people swim in the ocean every day? All right.
And you know, those people, I mean, legitimately.
Sorry to get all libertarian on it.
Rich, do some quick research for us. How many people swim in the ocean versus how many people in the world have Alzheimer's?
No, that's...
What's the more acceptable answer?
All right, first off.
What are we
that
doing
That shark
here?
Is stabbed in the goddamn eye. It's just going to get eaten when
this
it gets out.
This shark's smart as fuck. He's going to make like glasses for himself.
Again, when he comes back with those robotic feet, he's going to have a robot eye that shoots lasers and shit.
He's going to go back to the base, pop a window out, somehow get the feeder fish to, like, hold it to its eye. He's going to have a whole army. I'm fucking around.
Yes, you are.
He's going to have one of his eyes replaced with one of Stellan Skarsgård.
Regardless of all of that, it was not a good idea for this redhead to just jump in.
Oh, no. This is dumb as shit.
She's like, I know how to bring it back in. We need bait. So she cuts her hands open and then just jumps in the water with no way to get back out.
Yeah. Like, well, she had a step. It just broke.
That that's not a plan. Yeah. That was a, oh shit, now it's actually coming here. I need to get out. That wasn't a planned thing.
Again, for me, watch the movie, I hate her. So I'm like, good, done.
Well, yeah.
I did not know what to think about her, but I was like, you're the only person who could freaking cure Alzheimer's. Like, don't just jump into goddamn water.
I was indifferent, but once she jumped in the water, I was like, well, I guess you made your choice.
You earned that. Yeah.
I rooted for the shark for most of the movie. Yeah. Like,
so about that shark.
So the shark comes back. It just totally eats her.
I like how it recognizes her. It stops, looks at her for a second. I'm like, is this going to be a touching moment? And it's like, fuck you, well, eats her.
Yeah. She does say, come to mama.
Yeah, it's like you put a needle in my brain.
Yeah, it's like, I know you. You don't fuck with me.
Yeah. So just chops her to bits, which ultimately amounts to dilly shit anyway. Mm-hmm.
But now Thomas Jane jumps in the water. Yeah,
he's in the water.
Why?
Now he's got to go toe-to-toe with the shark. There's a lot of... Oh, God. All right, so he uses his shark foo to manage to kind of make a move around this shark and then grab onto its fin and take it for a ride around this area, whatever this was.
That's how he mounts this sharks.
Quidditch court that they had, whatever the hell
it's
this.
It's a pitch. It's a Quidditch pitch.
I'm sorry.
And Tony's reduced to tears. Okay.
And it's come to this. So I'm being corrected on Harry Potter knowledge. All right.
Fuck Harry Potter. Sorry.
Wow. Jesus.
Okay.
That's how you really
feel. We don't have far to go, gentlemen. Let's stay on track.
All right. So Thomas Jane is now riding this shark to freedom. Apparently, even though he can't hit this shark when it's near the fence, LL Cool J can, because he's now back in the picture. Yeah. He's got this gun, the harpoon gun dealy. And this is another moment where Brian called it by going like, I so hope he hits Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
And sure enough, shoots this thing right through the fin, hits Thomas Jane in the leg. So now they're tied together and he's telling them, you know, just hook it up to the battery, do it quick, whatever, we're all going to die. Fuck this shit.
Here's the funny thing, because Mythbusters tested this whole sequence. So you can't get enough TNT from the flares to make the dynamite. You can't set it off with the wire, like all that stuff. But of all the things in this myth that were actually confirmed, on their very first shot, they put a big shark out with Buster riding on it. Their very first shot just flew all the way there and shot through Buster's hand and pinned it to the shark from this distance in the movie. They're like, oh, okay, I guess that works.
Yeah, I believe that, sure. What I don't believe, however, is then I guess we're to assume Thomas Jane gets free. To me, it kind of looked like he got scraped off when the shark went through the
fence. I can't imagine that was pleasant.
That is what happened.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was barely in his leg. So when he gets out of the water at the end, you see it just ripped out of his leg. So he has a big, big gash through his leg.
Oh, that's so not good.
Yeah.
But it starts swimming away. It gets a little taste of freedom, but the preacher hooks this thing up to the battery and kabloomers. This thing is just
red paint everywhere.
Yeah, mince meat. See, this is where I thought we were going to get the ironic ending of like, all right, we finally killed the last shark and saved the day. But now there's a ton of blood in the water and there's sharks fucking everywhere around here.
Well,
how are we getting off this?
Also, I mean, I know it's a movie and it's an explosion, but like Carter, dunzo.
Oh, yeah.
He should be dead.
Again, we have this ridiculous moment. Thomas Jane is just kind of hanging out with his feet in the water, just like, yeah, that was fun, whatever. And LL Cool J is like, are you sure there's only three sharks? Like, yeah, pull his feet out of the water. Don't be a dick.
Also, he was like, LL Cool J is like, I want to go back to the ghetto. At which point I yelled, and get Alzheimer's. It's fucking bitter.
Well, Jenny won't remember any of this.
Joe has an agenda here, this episode. So I guess the crew that left beforehand came back.
This party boat that left earlier is just, are we led to believe this is Monday now?
I'm not sure. I couldn't possibly care.
The next crew was in.
Because they were there 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, because they days, she mentions to one of them, you know, this test has to go good tomorrow.
Yeah, like, the first day was all just set up.
Yeah, it was a setup. This,
oh, okay.
Yeah, this tested a good amount. So the whole actual part where she's pulling the shit out of his brain was the next day.
Right.
And that whole shit happened, took the entire day, so, yeah.
Okay, so...
No, deepest, bluest.
My head is like a Sharks fan.
Yeah, we just kind of cut to credits, and we get a little LL Cool J singing his song.
Yep.
And then it ends.
And that's it.
It's over.
And that's Deep Blue Sea from 1999. All right, on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 57%. Audience gave this a score of 38%.
Yep, about right.
That is what they thought of this movie, and obviously their thoughts on recommendations for this. What about you, Brian?
This movie is not good. Like, there are some moments in the movie that pay off as far as, like, I wish that happened, and it does. But thinking back, that could be because I saw the movie, you know, 15 years ago or whatever. So part of me could have remembered that this thing happened. Like, that's why I was like, oh, hope this happens, and it did. But really, the payoff isn't worth it for those minor things. So I would just, like, go see Jaws. Like, see Jaws. Any of them. I think any of them, but even the bad Jaws movies are better than this. Like,
No. I don't know.
No,
the bad
ones. No. Nope.
The one in the water park with the
Jaws 3D.
Wow, what?
I actually never saw Jaws 3D. Never saw that one.
Jaws 3D is like this, but shit.
Really?
Yeah.
Speaking of shit,
like, replace,
what is that smell, man?
Dookie.
Replace all the blood in the water with diarrhea.
That's me today. I'm fucking. But yeah, like, just see Jaws, like, fuck it. Like, don't bother seeing this movie. Like, it doesn't pay off. And I want to recommend it because there's enough, like, but there isn't enough, like, things that pay off for me to even bother. You're wasting your time watching it. So don't even bother. Watch Jaws.
All right, Rob.
I'm going to buck the trend, and I am going to lightly recommend, it's super stupid and it's just absolutely ridiculous, but I think it's watchable. Like, it's not one of those movies. It's like, I was, had to fight to get through it. Like, there was entertaining parts. The stupid parts you can laugh at, and it held my interest long enough. So I'm going to lightly recommend it just as, like, you know, afternoon watch, or if you're doing something else, just put it on, whatever. So that's what I got.
All right. Joe.
This movie made me mad.
Obviously.
So, despite the Samuel Jackson scene, which is kind of like essential cinema, like, you need to see that the scene where he gets eaten is an amazing scene. Everything else in this movie, I couldn't give one crap about. And it bothered me watching it. So I would not recommend this movie. I would say it goes by relatively quick. That's a plus. But the acting's abysmal. I don't know what to feel about any of the characters. And it's just dumb. It's really dumb. And it wasn't dumb in an entertaining way to me. Again, I agree with Brian, like, watch Jaws. Or if you want to see people struggle in an undersea environment, watch The Abyss. And, yeah, that would be it.
All right. I'm going with Rob on this one. I'm going to recommend it. It's dumb as shit, but it sets up pretty early on that it's going to be dumb as shit. So it's just like, get on board and go for the ride. And it's fun enough. We get a lot of deaths. Very rapid pace for most of it. It doesn't feel that long. There's usually somebody getting brutally murdered pretty quickly, one after another. So it's enjoyable enough. I don't think it's something you need to desperately go out and see. And if you haven't seen Jaws, yeah, freaking see that first. But this is definitely better than the Jaws sequels and stuff. Like, because most of those, a lot of those don't even have the deaths you're looking for. This movie does. So, yeah, I'm going to say yes.
I want to add something to what I was saying. All right. If you want to watch, like, don't watch Jaws, because Jaws is amazing. Like, it's kind of not even fair. Watch Sharknado. I'd rather watch Sharknado.
Oh, yeah, that's not a contest.
Than watch this. Sharknado all day.
Can I also add something?
Sure.
I would like to point out that my review may be tainted by the fact that we've been watching, like, a cavalcade of what feels like being teabagged by a hot, wet dog.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you from there. Like, compared to most of the stuff we watched, this movie's better.
I think I'm being extra lenient on it just because, like, I didn't want to stab myself in the face while I was watching it.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I wanted to come into this movie because I knew it was going to be bad. Like, I wanted to come into that with that mindset. But still, I still can't.
That's totally fair. Yeah. That's
still,
totally
I think
fair.
This leaves this movie about where it should be, which is about 50%. Like, watch it if you can or if you want to, but it's...
And I,
Don't push it.
I would say amongst the four of us, I probably have the lowest standards. I'm sure it says stump beef knob.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I'd agree with you on that.
Sure.
That's, yeah.
All right. Okay. So what do we have up next, Brian?
It's that D20 of fate time. It's time to roll that dice. What we watch next? I think it's my turn.
I believe it is.
So let's see if I could.
Hope you've been charging up the good mojo.
No, I've been like having diarrhea all day. I don't know.
Oh, God damn it, Brian.
This might be your moment of redemption.
It might be, but we'll see.
You've watched so many bad movies. It's got to be good.
Roll a two.
Two.
A two.
Oh, God.
A great start.
That's not good.
Even worse.
Oh, man.
All right, guys.
Oh, man.
Join us next week when we'll be watching 2006 Superman Returns.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Stalker Central. Just Stalker Creepy Central.
Okay. Watch Superman trick Cyclops into raising his child for some reason. I don't understand
so
how creepy that movie works.
Not Man of Steel.
You know, I don't know which one of those movies I think is worse.
Yeah.
Man of Steel.
Because they're different.
Man of Steel hurts more. Superman Returns is just dull as shit.
Dull as shit.
I think I'd rather watch Man of Steel, personally.
Well, it's just the fight. He punches something in that movie. He doesn't punch anything.
It's like watching Dragon Ball Z, but without all the exposition.
Yeah, he doesn't punch anything in Superman Returns. There's no, not one punch.
Yeah, there's really not.
Nope, not one punch.
He just lifts like a thing.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it.
He gets shot a lot by one guy and doesn't care.
Yeah.
All right, that review's done. Yeah. Let's get to that one, Rob. You're turning around.
I'm just going to pick something off the list. never mind. All right, guys. Well, that was Deep Blue Sea. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us through iTunes or Google or one of those other whatever's. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/4ampodcast. You can find us on Twitter and all those other media things that I don't understand because I'm 90 years old. If you'd like to donate to us, we don't have that set up yet, so go ahead and donate to your favorite Alzheimer's research project of your choice.
Or dinosaur theme park.
Or Joe's choice. Joe, would you like to, do you have a plug here?
Make sure it's at least being conducted at an aquarium.
If you see, like, street sharks in the title, or, like, you see a Hasbro trademark anywhere on there, just steer clear. But for anything else, please, if you'd like to email us, you can do so at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can also call us at 203-787-8946. That's a Google number, so I think it's free for US. It may...
Count me now!
So, yeah, count me now. Right.
Operators are standing by.
That's all I got, guys. So thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, if you have any questions or comments, please write in. And let us know what you would vote for. Is it raising dinosaurs?
No, please do not. Please do not. It was a joke.
The cure for Alzheimer's are going to jump in the goddamn water.
We should cure Alzheimer's.
So I can shut up.
Probably. I mean, we don't have to. They won't remember. We don't.
All right. You want Alzheimer's cured or do you want to be able to surf?
Wait, what? Surf?
Yeah.
I don't care about surfing.
Well, but we're saying you can't go in the ocean again because there's giant sharks.
I'll hire one of the super smart sharks to protect me from the other super sharks. Right? Super smart sharks.
I can't go in the ocean because of hypodermic needles. I don't need to worry about sharks. Yeah. Whatever.
I think we now have the plot for the Street Sharks movie, so let's make that happen.
I'd rather be eaten by a shark than a used condom flies up on my forehead.
You know, it's the end of your day. It's a
wrap on your day.
Sure is.
That's always a good one to play at the beach. Used condom or jellyfish? Which one is that?
It's usually both on our beach. It's a used condom that's turned into a jellyfish.
That note.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate your patronage. We'll see you next week for Superman Return.
Deuces.
Cure for goddamn Alzheimer's.
Good night, everybody.
Sore panels.